Praise the Lord. So good to see all of you this morning. You all look wonderful and beautiful and blessed and anointed. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would come up here and get excited this morning. I just don't know. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. And he is in our midst this morning. And he is awesome in this place.
Amen.
And we're just ready to receive everything that he has got for us today. Praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock. And we want to thank each and every one of you for being here today. And if this is your first time here at Oasis, we ask you to raise your hand so our ushers can give you a card this morning. And let's just give them a hand clap of welcome, please. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We just thank each and every one of you for being here this morning. And we invite you to just enter into what God has for you today. And before I turn it over to Pastor, I want to just speak a word of blessing over you. So be ready to receive what the Lord has for you today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you are victorious in life. I declare you are more than a conqueror. The favor of God surrounds you as a shield. You have the favor of God and the favor of man. I declare God goes before you and makes every crooked place straight. He opens doors for you that no man can shut. I declare you have the mind of Christ and you hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of Christ in your heart. You have the mind of the Holy Spirit, which is life and peace. You are spiritually minded, and you are living the life of the Spirit. I declare you have the nature of God. You are created in His image and in His likeness. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I declare you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are accepted in the Beloved. I said you are accepted in the Beloved this morning.
Yes.
You are accepted in the Beloved.
Yes.
God loves you. And nothing can separate you from His love. You are sanctified, consecrated, and separated from the world. I declare you have been created by God to prosper and make a difference in this world. You are a success. You are the head. You are blessed. I declare you are redeemed from sickness and disease. You are the healed of the Lord. Sickness, disease, viruses, and infections cannot live in your body. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And no weapon formed against you or your household will prosper in the name of Jesus. Give him a hand clap.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And, before I turn it over to Pastor, one more thing I want to just say, that we're having our friends and family fellowship dinner tonight.
Amen.
And we just want to invite each and every one of you.
Amen.
And ask you to invite your friends and your family.
Amen.
And just come ready to be blessed tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Because we always have a good time. It's about food, fun, and fellowship.
Amen. Amen.
Turn it over to Pastor.
Praise God. It is neighbor looking time. I want you to look at your neighbor. Matter of fact, do you have a cell phone? Okay. I want you to take your cell phone and show it to your neighbor. It's okay. Now I want you to take a picture of your neighbor. If your neighbor will allow you and will not beat you, we would like to take a picture of our neighbor. Glory to God. Maybe there's another neighbor that'll allow you to take a picture if your neighbor directly next to you. Now, I have a reason for this. This is a spiritual reason, actually. If you would, if you're, don't get upset about it. It's not about how we look. I have a reason for it. Because we're doing neighbor looking time, and we're taking pictures of our neighbor. Okay? Now, you've got a prayer assignment for next week with a picture of your neighbor that you just took. And the neighbors around you, you've got prayer assignments. Maybe you don't have a phone and you're not able to do that, then write your neighbor's name down. But take pictures of people as your prayer assignments this week. Oh, everybody got in it now. Glory to God. We see the purpose of it now. We're in it. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Yeah. Yeah, she got the big picture. She got the big picture. She's taking pictures of all the neighbors. There you go. There you go. That's it. Glory to God. Very good. See, and we're going to use this week. It's going to remind us when we see those pictures to pray for our neighbors. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Look at your neighbor, or even look at the picture of your neighbor, and say, I came
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
To receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare. I'll never, ever
be the same again.
In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now think of how much stronger we're all going to be next week when we come in this place, because our neighbor's been praying for us during the week. Hallelujah. Amen. Prayers make us stronger. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. Father, we thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. We thank you for strong utterance and strong anointing, and that your people make a strong drawing on the anointing of God. We thank you for answers coming in your presence. We thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, help me preach this. Teach through me. Preach through me. Help me say exactly what I should say in the way that I should say it. Help me leave off anything I need to leave off. Help me to flow with you, Holy Spirit. Not ahead and not behind, but right on time. Father, I thank you that we are preaching and teaching your word. And you said signs and wonders follow your word when it's preached or taught. And we're expecting and believing to see signs and wonders follow this word this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The title of the message today, if some of it hadn't already been preached a few times today already, is There's a Reward for That. Hebrews 11 and 6. Now I'm going to read a... I like that. Hungry for the Word, it makes excitement. I love that. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, In all your work you're given to do, do the best you can. Work as though you're working for the Lord, not any earthly master. Remember that you will receive your reward from the Lord, who will give you what He promised His people. Yes, you're serving Christ. He is your real master. Matthew 10, 42 in the Living Bible, And if as my representatives... you give even a cup of cold water to a little child, you surely will be rewarded. Matthew 6 and 6 in the Amplified, But when you pray, go into your most private room, close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. King James says will reward you openly. In Matthew 6:36 and 3 and 4 in the King James, it says, When you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that thine alms that may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward you openly. There's a theme here, rewards. Revelations 22 and 12, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Okay, now, if you live on this earth and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you've never made Him Lord of your life, which was said so eloquently by Wanda a minute ago, you will stand before the great white throne judgment because you're not saved. And you will go to hell. But if you live your life on this earth and you ask Jesus into your heart, and you make Him Lord of your life, you are what the Bible calls born again. You are saved. And you will never stand before the great white throne judgment. But you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where you'll receive rewards for the things that you have done in this life. We need to live our life with an eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Not one act or service in his name will go unnoticed or unrewarded in heaven. There will be rewards given out in heaven for working at your job, for doing a good job, for being there, for being faithful, being committed, doing excellent work. You'll receive rewards in heaven for helping other people. Your sacrifices to cook good meals, God will reward you. Your sacrifice sleep to get up early to go to work to provide for your family. God sees, God knows, and He will reward you. You're working two jobs, God will reward you. You're working and working and working, doing what you can, and God is making up the difference, and He will reward you. You paid for things out of your own pocket to help others or to help the church, and no one even knows it because you did it in secret. Yes, somebody knows it. It's God. And He will reward you openly because you're working for God. If you do something from your heart, God will reward you. He sees. Maybe you took the expense of something. You took the loss of something. You were helping somebody out and you got stuck with a bill. God will reward you. Maybe you're a caregiver to a loved one or maybe someone else. God has rewards for you for all you do to make their life better and easier. Do you try to brighten their day? God will reward you. Any act we do for others that's not a selfish act, God will reward us. We've stepped out of selfishness and did something for someone else. Sometimes we as Christians, we're too self-centered. Glory to God. There was a little bit of amen in, and that was a really good statement. Sometimes as Christians, we are too self-centered. We don't need to do stuff because we have to. We do it because, if we do it because we have to, we lose our reward. So we can lose the rewards that we're supposed to get by not doing it in the right heart. We're doing it out of necessity or we're doing it grudgingly. Every act of kindness, even to your loved ones, it counts in God's eyes. Put your heart in it. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. How many rewards have I lost because I had a wrong attitude? A lot. Because I did something because I felt like I had to. Or I did it grudgingly, not wanting to do it at all. 2 Corinthians 9:7, we think it just applies to finances, but it doesn't. In the Amplified, let each of you give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in one whose heart is in his gift. And that's not just money, that's anything that we're doing. There's a reward for that. Changing a tire for somebody else, there's a reward for that. Praying for someone else, there's a reward for that. Taking someone else's clothes, giving them clothes, buying clothes for somebody else, there's a reward for that. Taking someone else's food, buying someone food, there's a reward for that. Are you raising your grandchildren? There's a reward for that. Any act of love or giving done from the heart, there's a reward for that. Did you encourage someone who was down? Did you make a phone call, send a card because you truly cared? There's a reward for that. Did you take the time to listen to somebody and your heart was in it? They had been through something and they needed somebody to listen and you listened patiently. There's a reward for that. We're not doing good deeds because it looks good on our resume. Hang on. We're not doing good deeds in order to be seen by men. You and I are doing good deeds to please the Lord. It's all about Him. We need to pray about how we can be a blessing to somebody else and let God use us. There was this Christian woman, and she was saying that she was praying about how, you know, she wanted to be pleasing to the Lord and she wanted to be used by Him, and she felt like she just wasn't doing what He wanted her to do. And He put on her heart, He said, there was a nursing home that was just a few blocks from where she lived, and she said, but I don't want to go to the nursing home. She said, I don't like being in the nursing home. She said, it smells real bad, and it just, I don't know what I would say to the people, and I don't want to do it. It just kept on in her heart, just go to the nursing home. She went in the nursing home, not because she wanted to do it to be seen of men, but because the Lord wanted her to do it. Can you understand that? Now, and she went, there was somebody there that was very, that needed the Lord. He needed somebody physically that day. Somebody that could minister to him just by taking him outside. But she was at the right place at the right time, and she was used by God to do that. She did it, though, just to please the Lord. And there's a reward for that. Jesus said, you and I can rejoice even in the worst circumstances we ever go through. Because when we suffer persecution, there's a reward for that. We go through something. Somebody talks bad about us. Somebody says something they shouldn't have said, and it affects us. I'm telling you, there's a reward in heaven because of that. Because there's a direct connection between something that we do for Him on this earth and something, or we go through on this earth, something great He will do for us in heaven. There's a connection. God is keeping track of what we do for Him every day. We need to begin to live with a certainty that everything we do today matters forever. Hang on. Everything we do today matters forever. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and they thought upon His name. So there's a book in heaven with your name on it. There's a book in heaven with my name on it. And everything that we've ever done has been recorded in that book. Now you understand there's some places in that book that have been blotted out. The mistakes that we've made and the things that we've done that were wrong. The blood of Jesus has applied the blotter to those things, and they've been blotted out. And there's other good deeds and stuff that we've done that have been recorded, and we're going to be receiving rewards for those as long as they were done with a right heart and a right spirit. Now you understand, some of those rewards that we think we're going to get, we didn't do them right. And we won't get the rewards for those. Maybe you prayed for somebody else today when you held up your phone. There's a reward for that. Maybe you gave somebody a gift. There's a reward for that. Maybe you made coffee for your spouse. There's a reward for that. It's also safety for that. There's also supernatural protection if you make coffee for your spouse when they first get up. That spouse is both ways. That's me. Me and Pastor Sharon don't talk a lot until we get our first cup of coffee. And as she said, we don't really get into praying until we have our second cup of coffee. So there's a great reward for coffee in heaven. Hallelujah. If you did it just to be a blessing, you'll receive a reward. It blesses God when we step out of selfishness and self-centeredness and do something for somebody else. I remember one time my dad, he had two different cases of cancer. And he was on the second one. He had been diagnosed the second time. And he was going through that, and he'd had heart trouble. He had had, I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. He had 12 major heart attacks in his lifetime. His heart had been damaged severely, and he was in bad shape. And he was there at the house one day by himself, and a friend came over. And my dad was really feeling bad, and he got sick, just sick, while his friend was, this man was there. And my dad told us about it later. He said, this is at that time, looking at this from a teenage perspective, I thought this guy was a stuffed shirt. I thought, you know, he's a Christian, he goes to church every Sunday, but I felt like he was a stuffed shirt. I mean, we judge people, and I know I was 18, and let me, if you're 18 in here, let me give you some words of the wise. Your perspective is skewed. In other words, it's crazy. You're messed up at 18. You don't know nothing. You think you know everything, you know nothing at 18. Okay, go back to the message. Anyway, I did. I thought this guy was just pomp and circumstance. I didn't think anything really about him. And my dad said he cleaned the floor where my dad had gotten sick, and he helped my dad, you know, back to the chair, and he got him fresh clothes and stuff, and he was helping my dad, ministering to my dad any way he could. He was the only one there with him at that time. And he didn't announce this to us. He didn't tell us when we got home or anything like that. My dad told us. So the only people that knew it were my dad and that man and the Lord. You don't think there's a reward for that? There's a huge reward for that. He didn't do that to be seen. That was in his heart. See, God sees even the things, the good things, the secret things you do to be a blessing that nobody else sees. The secret giving you do, God sees it. The secret sacrifices you make for others, God sees it. The secret praying you do for others, God sees it. Now, I know sometimes we tell each other we're praying for each other, and that's a good thing. Don't take this as a one and done. It's not like that. Sometimes we need to let people know that we're praying for them, because that'll give them encouragement through a rough time. And a lot of times we need to. But there are other times that we need to pray for people and they never even know we're praying. But we know, and the Lord knows, and He'll reward us for it. We're doing it, you know, between us and the Lord. That's just our prayer life. And I tell you, He sees those secret prayers like that. He sees that secret giving that we do. Not just in the church and not just in offerings, but to people and to different things that He prompts us to do. And He'll reward us. God will reward you for submitting to your employer, for being selfless. There's a great reward there. Serving others in any way, there's a great reward there. For being persecuted, for sacrifices that we make, for sharing our time and talents for the kingdom, there's rewards for that. For being faithful and committed, for being a good mother, a good father, a good worker, there's rewards for that. I know you think I'm stuck on this. Well, I am. Because we don't preach about rewards very much. And the Holy Ghost told me, preach about rewards today. See, because there are rewards, and we think temporal minded. We think this earth, but God's saying what you're doing on this earth is eternal. It's eternal. You'll be rewarded here, absolutely. The Scriptures tell us that. But you'll also be rewarded there. And we don't talk about that a lot. But we need to focus on some of the things that we're doing. I think it would motivate us to do more things. But the Lord never rewards selfishness, only selflessness. So if I give an offering or a tithe, I'm laying that up in heaven. Now I understand some people don't understand that, and they have a problem with it. I don't believe in arguing the word. I've never done it, and I don't believe in doing it from the pulpit. I don't believe it. You either get the revelation or you don't. And God bless you if you do, and God bless you if you don't. But I have the revelation, I understand that what I'm giving, I'm giving it purposely. I'm giving it because God wants me to give it, and I'm wanting to please Him. And I know that this is not all there is. I know there's another side. And I know there's rewards on this side, but they're limited on this side to what God can do. But I'm telling you, they're unlimited on the other side. So I'm moving more of my treasure to heaven by sending it ahead. Whatever I give to God on earth, He'll more than give back to me in heaven. Matthew 6:19-20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Okay, I'll give you a little thing. It was a guy, he died, he went to heaven. Angels showing him around. And there are these mansions on this street that the angel's taking him on. He said, your house is on this street. He is taking him. I mean, they are just magnificent. Everywhere he looks, it's grandeur. It's glory. It's wow. He's never seen anything like it. The angel gets him down to the end of the street, and there's his house. His house is missing some things. It's missing some windows. It's missing some doors. It's missing some furnishings. It was really just a shell. He asked the angel, why is it like this? And the angel replied, we did the best we could with the materials you sent up. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. Yeah. Thank you very much. We live so earthly minded. Think about eternity. What we do right now affects eternity. It doesn't just affect others' eternity. It affects us. Not one act of service in His name will go unnoticed or unrewarded. Maybe we sing for His glory, or we play an instrument for His glory, or we teach or preach for His glory. There's a reward for that. Maybe you're a door greeter, or you're a children's worker, or a parking lot attendant, and you showed up. You were faithful. You had a good attitude. There's a reward for that. Notice I didn't say you didn't show up and you had a bad attitude. That goes without saying, you lose your reward for that. If my purpose is to be seen of men, to draw attention to myself, if I give so that I can look good to others, it'll be burned up. I won't get any reward for that. My motive must be God's glory. Love has no selfish motive. Without love, the deeds won't benefit the doer. We could literally step into heaven with few good works to show for our lifetime on earth. I'm not talking about your house will be a shell. That was a joke. But there are things that God has prepared for us or would like for us to receive, and we don't because we're not kingdom-minded like we should be. Some people are gifted in singing or playing a musical instrument or teaching. But sometimes they use those giftings for their own glory and not for God's glory. And if they use it for their own glory, they won't receive a reward for it. Matthew 6:1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. That would be hay and stubble. It'd be burnt up. There was a missionary couple, this is true, from Great Britain, who had spent a lifetime serving God in some faraway corner of the earth. After 40 years, they wrote their supporters that they were coming home, and they sailed for England. When they laid their eyes on their country's coastline, the man said to his wife, "I wonder if anyone will be here to welcome us home." As the ship sailed into Plymouth Harbor, the elderly couple stood on the upper deck of the ocean liner, holding hands, and then to their surprise and pleasure, they saw throngs of people crowded the dock, pointing in their direction and cheering. A band played. Men held up a banner that read, "Welcome home. We're proud of you." The husband was deeply moved. The wife said, "Isn't that wonderful?" They both laughed and they were so happy. They decided it was time to go below and to collect their luggage. But as they emerged, they were taken back. The crowd had already started to disperse, and soon it became clear what had happened. The huge welcome was not for them, but for a politician who had returned from some foreign success. In fact, no one was there to greet them at all. The husband couldn't hide his disappointment. After a lifetime of service, that isn't much of a welcome home. His wife took his arm, came alongside him and said, "Sweetheart," she said softly, "this is just England. We're not home yet." Now I'd like Ish if he'd play something for me. Ask Pastor Sharon if she'd come. We're not home yet. Just want you to listen to the words of this song.
Upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea, we heard these angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And he said, "But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I ask Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you. He said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm in heaven today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a light that was changed. One by one they came, far as your eyes could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices you made, that were unnoticed on this earth. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry. I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
A beautiful song, isn't it? And you know, we all have someone or many people that we can thank for giving to the Lord, because we're here today because somebody prayed for us or somebody witnessed to us. They touched our lives in some way as unto the Lord. And thank God for that. Amen. And I just want to speak a prayer over you this morning. I feel like there are people here this morning that are hurting. You've been going through some stuff, and I just believe that the Lord wants to minister His peace to you today and His healing. Father, we just thank you, Father, for this service today. And Father, I just lift up those this morning that have come with a hurting heart, or Father, that just need a touch of your love in a personal way to them, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you are the healer, Father God, not just physically, Father God, but you heal us emotionally, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you give your supernatural strength, Father God, to those this morning, Father God, that need a touch from you in a special way. And Father, I ask you to go with them, Father God, throughout this day and throughout this week, Father God, ministering your goodness to them, ministering your love to them, ministering your peace to them, Father God. And I thank you, God, that you are the healer this day, Father, and that you care, Father, that you love, and that you care more than we could ever know. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ashley, you can come at this time. Amen. God is good, isn't he? He is awesome in this place. He is awesome to us. And we want to be ever mindful as we go through our week to just have the mind and heart. Lord, what can I do for you this week?